On a Monday, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You have aligned to Republican State Senator Rob Stafshold of New Richmond, whose district runs along the northwestern edge of our state from about St. Croix County to Burnett County. Here's a bit of a roadmap for the bills we'll be discussing: concealed weapons, licensing, and reciprocity legislation, the possibility of an open sandhill crane hunting season, and starting with DNR rules and regulations and efforts to streamline them for hunters. What changes would you like to see to our state's hunting laws? How would you feel about a hunting season for sandhill cranes? 800-642-1234. State Senator Rob Stafshold chairs the Senate Committee on Sporting Heritage, Small Business, and Rural Issues. Senator Stafshold, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Well, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, good morning. So Republicans announced a package of bills broadly around hunting and fishing outdoors. One bill would require the DNR to identify ways of consolidating or eliminating hunting, fishing, and trapping approvals to reduce the types of licenses. What is the problem here with the current number of licenses?
Well, I think in general, this bill package affords the people of Wisconsin and those who come to our state a more clear-cut, easier approach to get people into the field. Since I've been in the legislature, one of the things we've done is always try to move forward things that take away some of the burdens, and especially target women and kids in the outdoors or younger folks, for sure, that continue on to our sporting heritage. And one of the things that we found, and I hear it on a regular basis when I'm back home talking to constituents or if I go up north during a hunting season, is the burdens that it takes to get all these different approvals. Hunter safety. In today's day and age, these kids are busier than I think kids have ever been, and it just takes some time. One of the things that I've been a proponent of is the trapper education component. It's really tough for a kid to find a trapper's education course, and oftentimes they have to travel around the state, and then they do a test out day somewhere. So we're just trying to make that easier without losing credibility and get those kids in the field and continue our heritage of sporting heritage here in the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, and so it sounds like you're trying to reduce some red tape, if you will. The one bill that proposes allowing a mentored hunt to replace in-person field testing as part of DNR hunter education courses, which I think you're referring to, what would qualify as a mentored hunt?
Well, so there is an actual legal definition of a mentored hunt in the state of Wisconsin. Actually mentored hunt or trap, we've made it so that the parents get to decide when kids, and it's mentored hunts can be for adults too, just anybody that hasn't tried it, but they have to be arm's length from the mentor. The mentee has to be arm's length from the mentor, and they really get actual hands-on experience in the field to understand the practicality of what we're talking about in these different circumstances. And I think, what could be a better learning experience than sitting with your grandma or grandpa or your mom or dad or your uncle or your older brother, older sister, sitting there actually in the field doing the practice after going through the class. Once you do that, I don't know why that would be considered a lesser value than actually going to a test somewhere with people that you don't know. It seems like it's a good bout for us.
So in efforts to streamline here with this package of bills, could this essentially reduce license fees and reduce the funding that goes toward habitat projects? Is there a concern about that?
There's absolutely no concern about that. I think that our funding is in great shape with the DNR. The DNR is one of the biggest agencies in the state of Wisconsin, if not the biggest. Their budget is humongous. And for anyone that talks about if we do this, that we might reduce funding for certain habitat projects or whatever it might be, it's simply a matter of priority for the Wisconsin DNR to decide where they're going to spend their funds. They have a huge, huge budget. And to be honest with you, the sportsmen of the state of Wisconsin have traditionally and continuously funded all of the different projects, even for those that, you know, there's some folks that spend some time outdoors that, that don't have to buy a license or whatever. And we fund all those projects too. So I have zero worries about that, to be honest with you.
Package includes bills that would increase the number of planted pheasants to 200,000 and state-raised brook trout in Lake Michigan to 100,000. Why are more needed?
So I'm actually the author of the bill on the pheasants. I grew up here in western Wisconsin, a little place called Aaron Prairie Township. And, you know, as I was a kid, the DNR traditionally has stocked much more pheasants than they currently do or have for probably the last decade or so. And we used to get just a ton of people coming out on the weekends and pheasant hunting. And it used to be Wisconsin was revered as one of the higher end pheasant hunting states. And, we weren't South Dakota. We're not North Dakota. That's true. And we're never going to be. But we used to plant a much higher population of pheasants, and it was just a much higher quality hunt for folks. They saw more people or more pheasants while they were in the field. Now, I live in an area where there's some DNR land, public hunting land, but there's one of the components of this bill, and we went through several drafts until we finally got it right before we put this out. My concern is that there's a lot of really good programs right now for farmers or just landowners in general to provide access to the general public for hunting, fishing, and trapping on their land. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to make sure that we made the where those pheasants can be stocked isn't just on the 40 acres of DNR land that gets pounded pretty hard, that we can actually stock these pheasants in anywhere that is signed up for a program that requires it to be open for public hunting. So our pheasant stocking, it's not like we're going to dump a whole bunch of pheasants in one 40-acre parcel. We're going to try to spread these out across Wisconsin and hopefully make a much better, higher quality of hunt. We can get back to the days of people coming for the weekend to go pheasant hunting, spending money in town in the bars and restaurants, maybe catching a hotel room if they're from out of town. I really think it's an economic driver and gets back to the way it was, you know, like when I was a kid and people came from all over to go pheasant hunting here.
Yeah, it sounds like, you know, if there is an economic market for hunting more pheasants, why should the government be getting involved here?
That's honestly, that's the way we've always done it. We've always stocked pheasants and brook trout and fish in Lake Michigan and Lake Superior. So the state of Wisconsin for a long time, and I'll be honest that I was critical of that till I understood the economic drivers behind it, that we've always invested in those areas and those resources because we knew that the economic return would be greater than the investment.
If you're just joining us, we're talking about a new package of bills with Republican State Senator Rob Stafsholt from New Richmond. He chairs the State Senate Committee on Sporting Heritage, Small Business, and Rural Issues. You can join in. How do you feel about the state creating a hunting season for sandhill cranes? Have your crops been damaged by these birds? Do you cherish seeing these creatures in our state? Join in at 800-642-1234. So moving on to sandhill cranes, why create a hunting season for sandhills?
You know, sandhill cranes are a hot topic and have been for at least a decade here in Wisconsin because there's been some political willingness to keep them from being hunted in the state. And it's each year it gets to be more and more as I travel around and go to meetings and talk to constituents, more and more people want to have a crane hunting season. We have a really robust population of sandhill cranes and more than enough to be able to be hunted here. A lot of other states, especially a few states just to the west of us, hunt sandhill cranes with no problems. The biggest concern was Wisconsin has engaged in some sandhill crane, other crane restoration work, and we were always worried that we would go backwards in that if we opened up a sandhill crane hunting season. And
yeah, because the International Crane Foundation is worried hunters would mistakenly kill whooping cranes as an effort you know, are really ongoing to reintroduce that bird to Wisconsin. How would the state manage hunts to ensure sandhill cranes are not overkilled and whooping cranes remain protected?
Yeah, I think it's like that's a concern, and it's a valid concern. But I think that it's no different than any other species that we hunt, say ducks. You need to be able to identify what you're doing when you're in the field, and sportsmen do that day in and day out, every day. You can only take a certain number of certain ducks, and you just have to be able to identify that, and that's part of the guise of being a sportsman is being able to do that, and I think this is no different. I think there's concern up front, but I think we'll find that it's not a huge issue. I mean, other states are doing it, and they're finding that they don't have any problems either, so... I think the other thing with the sandhill crane is I hear probably equally from farmers who are non-sportsmen each spring as sandhill cranes are in their fields and they're going right down the row plucking seed out. We've had that here on our farm and lots of other folks a little bit north of me here in New Richmond. A good friend of mine has a farm and there's some ponds around there and they have a lot of damage from sandhill cranes to their agricultural fields. And the process for dealing with that, if you're a farmer, is working with USDA, and it's a long and cumbersome process. So we're hoping we can provide some relief to those farmers as well.
Let's take a call. Becky joining us from Hustaford. Becky, hi, go ahead.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call. I come from a family of hunters and trappers and fisher persons. And one of the species that our family always enjoyed hunting and eating were ruffed grouse. I hear you talking about increasing the number of pheasants that are introduced into Wisconsin, but they're not a native species. I'm wondering what's being done to increase and improve habitat for native species like the ruffed grouse, because we've seen the numbers drop in northern Wisconsin with shifts in habitat and some of the fluctuations.
Yeah, Becky, thank you. Senator Staffschult, go ahead.
Yeah, Becky, I couldn't agree with you more. I'm not a dyed-in-the-wool grouse hunter, but I do observe the grouse population when I'm hunting other things a lot, and I agree with you that I think the biggest challenge to the ruffed grouse in northern Wisconsin is the change in the habitat. The reason we're stocking pheasants, or that we have the bill to try to increase the stocking of pheasants, is because traditionally those are farm fields and grassy areas and fence lines is their kind of habitat, where a grouse needs a more wooded area and somewhat of an open wooded area with some aspen regrowth after logging often is kind of their feeding area. So the biggest challenge with grouse, I think, is actually the habitat, where the pheasant's a little bit easier because that habitat hasn't changed quite as much. So,
Becky, thank you.
More.
Yeah,
let's work on that too.
Let's pause right there with Republican State Senator Rob Staffschult. Served two terms in the Assembly before being elected to represent the 10th Senate District in 2020. We're discussing his legislative priorities with your questions. What priorities do you want to convey for Northwestern Wisconsin? 800-642-1234. Back for more State Cap in a minute on the Ideas Network. It's a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're talking with State Senator Rob Staffschult of New Richmond, who's with us for about nine more minutes. State Senator, you've co-authored a bill regarding reciprocity for out-of-state licenses to carry a concealed weapon. Can you explain what you're doing with this particular legislation?
Following the U.S. Constitution. I mean, the Second Amendment already gives us the right to bear arms. And through the concealed carry process, one of the things that we hear from sportsmen, and it seems like that could be two entirely different issues, and I'm sure we could fill a whole show just talking about concealed carry, but what happens with sportsmen who choose to carry a sidearm or a pistol on their side while hunting, and I have actually witnessed this myself, is all of a sudden it gets a little cool out, or in the morning you put a flannel shirt on and it falls down over that firearm. And now it's a concealed carried weapon instead of being an open carry weapon, which is a significantly different than current law. So this just tries to make it easier so that folks don't have to go through an entire process.
Yeah, permits are currently honored in the vast majority of states, with just some caveats in a handful of states. Why are you trying to change
that? I don't find that to be true.
Okay.
It is a mess of different regulations and folks that travel from different states. It's a complicated mess trying to figure out where you can, where you can't, based on which concealed carry permit you have.
Would this weaken the purpose of background checks?
No, absolutely not. When you buy a firearm, that's at the point. The background check happens at the point of purchase. It doesn't happen to whether or not you carry a concealed weapon or not.
Let's take a call. Chris now in Milwaukee. Chris, go ahead.
First of all, I really have a problem with a man who can't tuck in his shirt and has to have a law. But that's not why I called. I'm from Milwaukee. We in Milwaukee don't want guns here. I do not understand why they're trying to get rid of the mayor because of all the gun crime, when the mayor and the rest of us have been begging and begging the Republicans in the state house to get rid of letting everybody have a gun in the city. There can be regulations. People who are from out of state can go around on the freeways to up north where they can have all the guns and you all can shoot whatever you want.
All right. Well, Chris, I want to stop here. But, Chris, very concerned about the ripple effect that this legislation would have.
Yeah, I didn't quite understand the comment about the tucked-in shirt part, if that was directed at me specifically or what we were talking about. But, one of the things I try to do when I'm in the legislature is not weigh into areas I don't know, and I specifically don't know a great deal about the mayor and what's all going on over in Milwaukee. I try to represent those people way over here in the northwest corner of the state the best I can. So the inner workings of the city of Milwaukee are something I'm not overly familiar with or have a big concern over based on my constituents over here. So
Wisconsin does not allow the general public to carry concealed firearms without a state license, and one bill in the new package would eliminate that law so people could carry concealed firearms without a license. How do you feel about that? Why do you want that?
I think it's a valuable law. I think it upholds your constitutional Second Amendment rights. And I think that the permitting that the state does, I think that right's already guaranteed to you under the U.S. Constitution. So I think it's an unnecessary step.
The bill would eliminate laws against carrying concealed firearms in some places like police stations. And these places could instead post signs telling visitors that concealed carry is not allowed. How does that go far enough to protect people in sensitive areas, sensitive places?
Well, I guess it depends on what. Anywhere that I travel with my family is a sensitive area to me. So I guess it depends on your definition of a sensitive area. However, I will tell you that currently that's the practice in Wisconsin. Now, with the current permitting process, if you have a concealed weapon and a concealed carry permit and you're concealing a weapon and you go to a private business or city hall or anywhere, if they post a sign, no guns allowed, then that's the way it is now. So the process you're talking about by putting a sign on the door, that wouldn't change the process at all.
Hmm. If you're just joining us, we're talking about a new package of bills with Republican State Senator Rob Stafsholt from New Richmond, represents voters in northwestern Wisconsin. You can join in 800-642-1234. How do you feel that this package of bills was released in conjunction with Hunter Nation, the Kansas group, hunting group, which is also suing the state over the ability to hunt wolves?
How do I feel about it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, it always, I read that yesterday too, that the Hunter Nation is a Kansas group, but I guess I was not aware that they were considered a Kansas group because the person that runs it is a gentleman by the name of Luke Hilgemans from right here in the center part of the state of Wisconsin and has deep roots in Wisconsin and loves Wisconsin. I talk to him on a regular basis. So, their heart is definitely in Wisconsin. If there's some legal mailing address that's in Kansas, I guess I'm not aware of that, but they're one of the up-and-coming premier groups that defend sportsmen's rights and are aware of, you know, the sportsmen's traditions in the state of Wisconsin and across the nation. So I'm happy to have partnered with them on this particular issue.
Let's take another call now. Bruce is joining us from Eau Claire. Bruce, hi. What's on your mind?
Good morning. I'd like to ask the senator, is your committee the one we're waiting for right now to take up the confirmation of Susan Nass to the Natural Resources Board?
Yeah, Bruce, that's a great question. Actually, that confirmation has not been referred to my committee, so I'm unable to do that now. I believe that confirmation is sitting in Senate Org, so I'd be happy to do that, but it has not been referred to my committee yet.
Doctor,
or any committee. There's several different committees it could go to. It's not slated just to go to mine, but it has not been referred to any of those.
Bruce, referring to Dr. Fred Prain, who's become a very divisive figure over the months, that he's refused to step down from his term that ended in May on the Natural Resources Board. What would you suggest Governor Evers do next?
What would I consider he do?
Yeah, if the Senate won't take up the confirmation, what would you suggest the governor do?
Follow the law. Well, state statute says that we will have a wolf season, and he keeps ignoring the law. And the reason why we have all these controversial things going on is because him and his administration and Secretary Preston Cole refused to follow the law. If he followed the law, it would be over.
So if you put the shoe on the other foot and you were a Republican governor, would you sit back and say, well, okay, the Dr. Prain won't step down, you know, so be it? Or would you fight it?
That's a great question. One of my concerns is by not following the law, Governor Evers has set up this whole controversial process. And what I'm worried about, as you point out, whether it's a Democratic governor or a Republican governor, that this is going to set precedents going forward. And I'm afraid that once you do something once, it becomes far easier for both sides to do that going forward. And I think that's unfortunate. And I think that, this could have been avoided. But my concern is that this doesn't keep happening going forward. And I think once you do it once, it will.
State Senator Staffschult, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Rob Staffschult, Republican State Senator from New Richmond. I'm Kay Dirt, your Kent. This is the State Capitol Report on The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.